This Sunday humor came from Alice this morning. It says, "So I was at Walmart earlier and a lady was looking at the frozen turkeys, but she couldn't find one big enough. She asked the stock boy, 'Do those turkeys get any bigger?' He replied with a straight face, 'No, ma'am, they're dead.'" I guess we have to watch how we say stuff, right? Amen, amen. If you haven't noticed, there is a little bit of a, our songs are touching on blessings. How many of us have heard the old saying, "Stop and smell the roses"? Most of us, right? Well, that's what a rose is God's blessings, okay? But before we get started, I want to read out of Romans. It says Romans 10:17, "Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let the seed of faith be sown on good ground this morning so that it will bear good fruit." The meaning of blessing is good word. Where does the good word come from? It comes from God. And when we listen to the word, that's when our faith grows. It's like a circle. It starts up here with God, and then it starts with God's blessings, which is what? His word. And then from his word comes the faith that continues to grow, and as it grows, we receive the blessing, and it brings us right back up to that full circle. So today, again, we're going to be talking about roses, smelling the roses, stopping our busy lives to smell the roses. You know, God has given us all different kinds of roses. There's the tea rose. There's, you know, name some other roses that you know. Can you throw some out that you know? How about the, what is it? Climbing rose. Okay. Is there a Texas rose? Yellow rose. We'll take it. We'll take it. We'll take it. Okay, so there's a lot of different kinds of roses, which means, you know, that there's a variety. Well, God, again, his roses are his blessings. And those blessings come in all different shapes and sizes at all different seasons in our lives. In our valleys, those roses, those blessings come. In our on our mountains, they come. There's a song, a contemporary Christian song called Roses. And part of the song, it says, "I don't want to spend more time looking at the thorns than the roses." So what's that mean? In other words, it's saying, do we remember the painful experiences quicker than we remember the good things that happened in our lives? Do we dwell on the negative more than we do the positive? An example of this would be if nine people, or let's say you went to work one day and you had a new outfit on, and everybody noticed. I mean, pretty much everybody, "Wow, that really looks nice on you. Is that new?" Or, you know, when I see Marlene, she gets her hair done, I go, "Marlene, that looks so nice." Well, you know, if you go through your day and you have so many people that come up to you, and I do have a lot of people that come up to me and they'll say, "Man, I really like your hair. I really like your hair." And I appreciate that. But what if that person that wore that new outfit that was told 5 or 6 times throughout the day that they really liked their new outfit, but one person came up and said, "That's kind of loud, isn't it? Wow, that color just doesn't look good on you." Or, "Man, that makes you look like you weigh 10 pounds more." You know, something like that. So which one, tell me, which one of those are you going to linger on the negative? Or are you going to linger on the 5 or 6 people that said, "Wow, that you look like a knockout in that outfit"? What do we tend to do? You know, Satan wants us to lick our wounds by remembering maybe that negative thing instead of the positive that we've heard most of the day. So now in the Living Bible, New Living Bible, in the Philippians, it says in chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. In other words, we need to count our blessings instead of our grievances. In James, it says in chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Well, the thing is, this was written how many generations ago? But the good thing is, our God says, I will never change. I will be the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So, that same God who had this inspired, put into the Word of God, that every good and perfect gift comes from God. So, if we've experienced anything good in our lives, where did it come from? It came from the Father. It came from Him. That rose that we, you know, we're saying, stop and smell the roses. That's what He's asking us to do, is to stop and take in the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. When we receive these blessings, these roses from God, do we find the beauty in the moment of that blessing? Do we stop and enjoy that moment? Do we see the stars maybe through the thunderstorms that are going on around us? Do we bask in the present, enjoying the blessing? Are we too much in a hurry and want to move on? I love this. I heard this in a song as well. It says, when the things of the world want us stressing, that's when we need to learn to lean on the blessings. I love the way that. So are we too busy stressing, or are we wanting to lean into the blessings? When we lean into the blessings of God, we start slowing down. Yesterday when we left the fairgrounds, and I was right behind Mary, and I was going to pull up right behind her, I had my car on M instead of D. And it was, you know, and that's what happens when we get our mind and our body, we want to shift it up to fourth, and our spirit's back there going, you know, wants to idle a little bit and saying, let's enjoy the moment. Let's enjoy what the blessing that God has put before us. There's a blog or an article that I read by a Glennis Whitwer, and this is what she writes. It was quite funny. It says, a slower life sounds delightful. Maybe that's why farmhouse living is such a popular idea. We idolize a lifestyle led by simple faith and slower daily routines. But I'll be honest, my farmhouse needs a better Wi-Fi. My daughter says amen to that back there. And then it goes on to say, don't get me wrong, I like the idea of a slower lifestyle, but not when it comes to my computer. And then she says, I am still waiting for my smartphone to make me smarter. Then she goes on to say, as much as our minds and our bodies want us to pick up the pace, our soul was created not to hurry. And as a result, hurry is the enemy to what matters most in life. It's when we get into that state where we have to hurry, you know, to get from A to B all the time, we're missing so much of what's going on around us. And I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm preaching to myself today. I should actually be sitting in this pew listening to this, because I'm always in high gear. I'm always at least a day and a half ahead of myself. So I'm preaching more to me than to you, so forgive me. But if you can take notes and it helps you, please help yourself. So as a result, hurry can be an enemy in our lives. We have to realize that hurry is not a mandate. It's not a mandate for us. Hurry doesn't bring out the best in any of us, right? Now think about the last time you had to hurry. What was the emotion that you were dealing with when you had to hurry? What was it? Anxiousness, right? Anxiousness or worry or doubt. So, especially when we're waiting in line, when we, you know, we've got to be someplace at a certain time, or when we're waiting on the phone, you are now next in line. You will be answered in 10 minutes. You know, all you know that it's going to be probably more than 10 minutes. Or if you're waiting at the doctor's office or the dentist's office. And we all get a little short when we know we're in a state of being in a hurry. Now, as I was reading this article a little bit further, I love what she says here. She says, "And when we want a deeper relationship with God and others, hurry makes those relationships shallow." Wow, I never thought of it that way before. That if we're in a hurry, you know, like I have a friend that's 92 years old, I have to downshift when I get into her. When I walk in her house, I have to downshift my gears because she needs that time because she doesn't have very many people that come and see her. And I just needed to downshift and just and make up my mind, you're there for a while and you need to not come across like you're in a hurry. You need to let her know you care about her. And that's what we have to do. That's one of the things when I said we've got to stop and take in the moment. That pertains to this as well. Not just enjoying, you know, a scenery or whatever it is. It's when we are with other people and we know we can make a difference in their life, we need to shift it down a couple of notches and stop. And stop. Here's another one. When we want to enjoy the things of beauty around us, hurry makes that totally impossible. Totally impossible. As I was writing this, I remembered one time I get a ping on my phone, and here it's my son in Florida. As a side job, he works at the school, but as a side job, he does DoorDash. I don't know whether he still does it, but that particular day, he was doing DoorDash, and he was doing a delivery. And he had sent me a picture of the coast. And he goes, "Mom, I wanted to send you this picture and let you see how beautiful it is." The point being is he stopped his hurry, because when you're doing DoorDash, I'm sure there's a, you know, you want to get there as fast as you can, get it taken care of. And yet he stopped his car, pulled over, took this picture, and in that moment he was able to grasp a hold of that moment, capture that moment himself. But not only did he capture it for himself, he sent it to me. And, I mean, I don't care if it was, you know, whatever the picture could have been. But the point is that he stopped his world to be in my world for a short period of time. And that brings us back to hurry makes our relationships shallow. And it's a habit. It's a habit of being in a hurry, running from one thing to another. It's a habit. I eat fast. I have a very bad habit of eating very fast. But hey, when you're from the 12, you eat fast, because if you don't, you might walk away from the table a little hungrier than you want to be. So, you know, you learn to just dig in there with the boys, and there was 8 of them. So, I mean, you had to fight for it some days, let me tell you. So, yeah, I eat fast, but again, to this day, it's because I'm always in a hurry. And my 92-year-old friend says, "Bonnie, you got to learn to enjoy your food. You just shovel it in there," and you know. And I do. I have to learn to do that. So, how about this one? When we want to do an excellent job or do a job well done, hurrying not only may cause us to have mistakes in that job, but it also causes us what? Stress and anxiety. Because we're wanting to get it done and get it done quickly. When we did the rims for Christmas, we took our time. We enjoyed each other's company. And we kind of got our artiste, mojo going. Thank you. And we enjoyed each other. And we were able to bounce ideas off of each other. We were able to relate to each other. We were able to click with each other. We were able to laugh with each other. We had so much fun doing that. That's something that we created a memory that day because we slowed down. I know my daughter, her husband, their side of the family always comes to their house on the holidays. So their house is full from one end of the room to the house to the other. And pretty much everybody congregates in her kitchen, which is the biggest room in their house probably. And everybody congregates pretty much in the kitchen. It gets pretty crowded in there. But she's in high gear. But the moment those people walk in the door, you see her downshift. And she starts spending that time and visiting with them. Yeah, she makes sure that everything, their needs are met and that the table's still got food on, the counter still got food going. But everybody kind of chips in and helps. But she knows that that's a time when she needs to downshift and stop the hurry. And so it's done. It's possible. We can do it. We all can do that. When we want to serve others well, and I talked about that with my friend that's 92, hurry causes us to brush over their needs. When I go to my friend's house, I cannot sit there and think, I've got this to do before I leave town today in Peru. I've got to stop all of that and just spend that time with her. And yes, I'll agree. When I get back out in the car, I've got my list right there, and I start checking them off as I do them. But there's a time and a place for that. And there's a time where if we don't stop the hurry, we're going to miss out on the moments. The thing is, we are designed by God to ponder on things, to ponder on them, to process one thought at a time, to focus on the face or the person that's in front of us at the time. That's what we're created and designed to do, is to focus on that one thing at one time. That's when we can allow the gifts that God has given us to overflow maybe onto that person that's in front of you. Or maybe a task that God has called you to do, when you do it with the right heart, with the right attitude, you're not hurrying. You're doing it as unto God. When we rush into things, let's put it this way. It says, don't rush the process because good things take time. Don't rush the process because good things take time. Hurry robs us of the beauty God has placed before us. The way we can deal with hurry or a hurried lifestyle is eat slower, walk slower, talk more slowly, revamping our schedule, which that's a tough one. Taking a deep breath when you feel overwhelmed. Connie. See, just something as simple as that, how much of an impact that made on Connie. How many of us, I don't do a lot of it, but how many of us still send out Christmas cards? Anybody? Most? Okay. I don't send as many out as I used to, but I do send some out. But don't you agree that when you hand write a Christmas card to someone, it touches them in a way that, they might say, oh, gee, I wonder how they're doing. I haven't heard from them or I haven't seen them forever. You know, it's those types of things. And I don't remember the name of the movie where the girl is, writing out the Christmas cards, and she doesn't even know the names of, or she doesn't even know some of these people. But it was just something that the generations before did and the generations before did. And so she's doing it all in a hurry. We have to step back and say, okay, when I'm doing this, am I doing it for the right reasons? Am I doing it out of a tradition? Am I doing it to make a difference? Because if you're doing it to make a difference, you're not going to hurry. If you're doing it as a tradition, then chances are you're in a state of anxiousness and hurrying. Making a decision to slow down and not allow that doesn't allow the blessing that God has for you to go unnoticed. That was also in that song. I'm going to say that again. Making a decision to slow down and not allow the blessings to go unnoticed. The more we show God that we see the blessings and that we notice those blessings that he pours out upon us, he's more apt to do more because we show him that we appreciate and that we see those blessings, that we are aware of where those blessings are coming from. A lot of us, you know, we've worked hard and we want to pat ourselves on the back thinking, you know, great job. You know, you're where you're at today because you've worked so hard. Well, yeah, you did work hard. But where did that strength come from? Where did that wisdom that you had to get you from where you were to where you are now, that motivation, that drive, that all came from God. That's why you are where you are. That desire to make that goal wasn't of your own strength. It was a blessing that was given to you through the years, through the decades, to get you where you are now. So that is a blessing. And so we need to sit back and say, Lord, you know, I never noticed that before. But now I notice that. And I want to first ask you to forgive me for not being aware of it. I didn't take note of it. But now I want to thank you that you've made me aware of it. And I want to thank you for bringing me from where I was to where I am in my career or where I am with my family or whatever. You know, maybe there was a situation in your life where, you know, you had some bad feelings towards a member of your family. But over the years, God was able to patch that problem, that relationship up. Do we sit back and do we say, Lord, thank you for making that possible? That's a blessing. I no longer carry that grief. That grieving over that relationship. I no longer have to carry that or be angry. I don't have to carry that unforgiveness anymore because you made a way where there seemed to be no way. You made a way. There's so many times that we need to sit back and say, what exactly are God's blessings? Well, again, like it says in James, everything that is good that comes from God is his blessings. We need to get serious and stop our world, even if it's just for 5 minutes, and sit back and say, maybe at the end of the day, sit back and say, Lord, I saw this blessing today that you gave me. I saw this blessing, and I saw this person that you brought across my path that I hadn't seen in years. Oh, I got this letter today. Thank you. You know, sit back and think, Lord, you know what? I didn't think I had enough funds today to meet all my bills, but you made it possible. All these things are blessings. Lord, I didn't think that I physically could do this. And yet, Father, you made it possible. As I was sharing with Marilyn and Mary, I mean, they run rings around me some days. I mean, it's mind-boggling. I want them to, you know, I go, girls, and Lois and Eleanor, I mean, all of you women, you just truck it, you know, and Veronica, I mean, all of you just, you put your hand to the plow, man, just get out of your way. I mean, you don't use any excuses. You just go at it. You know what has to be done, and you do it. And I say, aren't you girls tired yet? Aren't you tired? And they just keep going. But the thing is this, when I watch them, they minister to me because they go it at a pace. At a constant, continual pace. They're not running from A to B. They're doing it because they're not in a hurry. They're doing it as unto God. Now they see me, and I am usually running pretty fast and walking pretty fast. They're teaching me how to slow down and do it with the right heart and with the right attitude. I have the motivation, I have the drive, but I want to make sure that when I do it, it's for the right reasons, so that I can stop and notice the blessings. This ministry, this community is a blessing. So, there are sayings like, nature never hurries, but everything gets done. How many of us have said, I've got places to go, I've got things to do and people to see? How many of us have said that? Okay. Here's this one. It was a song, lyrics from a song. It said this: I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. Wow. See, that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to get into a state of constantly being in a hurry, being and feeling overwhelmed. That's where, and then what happens then? Confusion, anxiety, all those things come in. And when that happens, then God can't totally fulfill what he has for you. There's even people that go on vacation and they're in a hurry. There's another old saying that says, haste makes waste. And I remember when I was in the hospital, and I believe it was when I had Connie. Back then, you know, you did the natural birth and the whole thing, you know. And you didn't take shots, you know, it's going to be tough, I'm going to do this, you know. And, of course, I didn't have any of that. Well, when it came to doing the breastfeeding, I was in total agony. To the point of tears coming down my eyes, totally in agony. And I remember, and the nurse came in, she goes, how about if I give you something for the discomfort? I go, oh, no, I don't know, I'm not doing that. I'm going all the way with this. You know what that nurse turned around and said to me? Bonnie, you are not going to get a reward for not taking any pills. You're not going to get a reward for not taking any medication. And that's exactly what it says here. There is no prize given to rush through life. There's not a prize at the end for rushing through life. Yes, there is a reward when we serve God and we go on to be with him. In Luke chapter 10, verses 41, 42, Jesus told Martha to slow down. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, one being your relationship with me. And when we have that relationship with him, all these other things, they fall into place. And then when we fall into place, that's when we stop and start smelling the roses. Mac Davis, he was a singer from, 1960s, 70s, 80s, somewhere in there. And the song he had, Stop and Smell the Roses. One of the things that he says in the song, you're going to find your way to heaven is a rough and rocky road if you don't stop and smell the roses along the way. And what I take from that is this, that if we take the time and we notice the blessings that God has poured upon us, we're going to be so busy seeing the blessings that we're not going to dwell on the negative or the hard times. We're going to dwell and look forward to the blessings, looking at the blessings. And from that, what are we going to have? We're not going to carry that stress, that anxiety. We're going to walk in a lot more peace. And we're going to be, what's the word I'm looking for? We're going to feel the presence of God. We're going to find comfort in God. And we're going to have an expectation. Because the more we let God know we see the blessings he's poured out upon us, the more he's going to want to continue blessing us. So we need to stop and take notice of all God's blessings, his roses. It could be your family. It could be your church family. It could be the sounds or the beauty of nature that we stop and recognize and appreciate. It could be music. It could be spending time fellowshipping with God. It could be sharing memories, or it could be making new memories. We need to seize the moments. We need to seize the moments. Be mindful of the here and now. Today we need to make a decision to slow down, take time and appreciate those roses, those blessings. Let's enjoy the blessings. Don't let them go unnoticed. The more we notice God's blessings, the more we'll thank our Heavenly Father and show Him our appreciation. We'll enjoy life, the life that He meant for us all to have. Amen? Okay. You want to come on up, Marilyn? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You've just poured out Your blessings upon us, Your roses, and they come in all different colors and all different shapes. And Father, we just thank You that it's because of Your love that You continue to pour out those blessings. Father, help us to slow down. Help us to notice all the blessings that You pour out upon us. Help us to get into the habit, either be in the morning or at night, just before we close our eyes. Instead of counting sheep, let us count our blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.